just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com. Steve, like I said before, not everyone's perfect all the time.
Right?
Not every idea pans out.
Like trying to fit all the movies into one podcast?
Yeah, we're going to continue a discussion that we were having last week about movies that Disney considered making but didn't actually end up making.
Right.
Which I always find interesting, to find out what could have been.
Yeah, I imagine they've had thousands of ideas, actually, that haven't been made.
Right.
They've had thousands of ideas that have been made.
No, that's true. I remember seeing a documentary about them making The Little Mermaid, and the animators basically were each given the job of finding five possible movie ideas and bringing them in. So if you think about each animator bringing in five ideas, and they employ probably 100 to 200 artists.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You could get a lot of things rolling around in them halls, right, trying to decide if you want to make them or not, right?
Yeah, seriously. That's a great way of doing it.
Yeah, make them do the work, right? They're working for you already.
Yeah. Yeah, totally right.
So you ready to dive in?
Let's do it.
So, Steve, we are Disney park aficionados. We go quite often.
That we do. We enjoy going.
One of our sometimes rides, I would call it, is Splash Mountain.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a sometimes ride. You're right.
Especially in California. Not for some reason. You get sopping wet in California on Splash Mountain.
You sure do. You know that's right.
And not even on the one that you think you get sopping wet on. You get sopping wet inside Splash Mountain more.
That's a good point. As you're going through the ride, there's all of the drops that you go through, and the water comes over the top and into your shoes.
It's terrible.
Yeah. The drop at the end, though, was pretty bad, because you dropped, it was like at a 43 or 47 degree angle, something like that. Mm. And so it was off by 2 degrees, and which made it very, not only made it very wet, also slightly unsafe, but I think they fixed it.
Oh, we haven't ridden it since they changed that, though.
No, we have not.
Yeah.
No, it was dry last time we were there.
Yeah. But in Florida, it's a little less horrific.
Oh, and it's much better.
This last time we went, I insisted on sitting in the back, and I had a great time.
Right? And they're side by side, so the water's not nearly as bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Well done, Florida.
Was that going to be the movie?
No.
Us on the ride?
Splash Mountain, the movie, the ride.
Totally. You could make it a documentary.
We all know that Splash Mountain both stole all the characters from America Sings, another attraction that was in Disneyland at the time, but also is based on Song of the South very loosely. It has the characters from Song of the South.
Yeah, one by one, they would just sneak over there and just grab a character each night.
Oh, yeah.
Put it in the ride.
Like, where did the goose go? So, it was based loosely on the Song of the South, and they have some of those characters in there. But at the end, near the end of Splash Mountain, apparently, there is a sign that reads Catfish Bend as like a location.
Uh-huh.
And apparently this was the idea for a Disney movie.
Oh, okay.
Supposedly sometime in the 80s, they were going to make this movie called Catfish Bend.
What?
About a bunch of animals that live in the Mississippi swamps.
Wow.
Which would be totally apropos for a Splash Mountain ride.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have all the animals in there already.
Right, right.
And I guess it just didn't pan out for them for whatever reason, but it's kind of fun that there's that little wink to it still floating around out there.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see what they would have done with that. My family especially loves Disney animal movies.
Right.
So, and they seem to be very popular with
They're very good at them. Yeah, and that's one of the things I love about Princess and the Frog is the fact that it is set in the South, and it's so, you know, that you see the peat moss and whatnot growing all over everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would have been great if they went down that line with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Well, but they didn't. We're going to move on to one that's very important to Disney history that was never made.
Huh.
Go figure. In the most amazing year, 1983, John Lasseter made a test animation with 3D backgrounds with 2D characters drawn in.
Oh, wow.
So they were practicing basically their 3D animation skills by making the environments all 3D rendered.
Yeah.
And then hand animating the characters into the 3D environments.
What would be the purpose of that? For educational purposes or to see if how cool it looked on screen?
Well, they were always looking to push the envelope and do something new and unique, which I can appreciate. And if you can build an entire 3D model of a space and then just put your characters into it, you don't have to do backgrounds for everything if the computer's already built all the environments for them to be
in. Oh, yeah.
This is just me spitballing as to why they might have done it this way. Plus, we all know that John Lasseter really pushed the envelope with 3D animation and ended up breaking off and going and forming Pixar.
Right.
So, but this was, his test was to show what they might do with a movie version of Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh, wow.
So.
They've never done a Wild Things movie, have they?
Disney has not.
Okay.
No, but they have done a live action Where the Wild Things Are, which I've never seen.
Interesting.
It looked really weird because they have like big, mascot type characters as the wild things.
Mm-hmm.
And then they apparently tried to put some more meaning into it by making them all mean something to the little boy, like something psyche related or something.
Of course
they
would do that to a movie.
Well, that's what they do, right? You can't take a very simple You can't take a very simple children's book and just translate it most of the time because they just don't have the weight of a story enough to justify into a film.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because the book, there's a little boy named Max who dresses like a little monster and causes mischief. And his mom sends him to his room. And he either imagines or actually ends up in a forest and sails away and finds a land full of monsters where they make him king of the wild things.
Is that where your nephew gets his name from?
Yes.
That's not true.
He's a wild thing. So it's a very simple book, and actually a lot of the pages are just illustration. There's not a lot of words on every page.
That's right, yeah.
So you would have to kind of put some weight on it to make it into a film, I think.
That's fair. Absolutely, but, they would have to do that.
It's interesting because it's such a major turning point because Disney decided not to go with...
Is that the one that they fired him over? They basically said the test is not moving forward and as such, you no longer have a job.
And yeah.
Oh, dang.
So, like I said, this is a major turning point for Disney and for the beginning of Pixar.
Yeah.
Because Disney inadvertently created a major threat to them.
That's crazy.
In Pixar. And then, of course, they bought them because that's what Disney does. But right. 1983, Where the Wild Things Are.
I can't believe John Lasseter has been floating around that long.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it, but...
I don't know much about John Lasseter, but...
Well, because, like, Toy Story, because right after that, they broke off and did Toy Story. But that didn't come out until, like, 93 or 94.
Right, they didn't break off right away and do Toy Story. They broke off and started doing shorts.
Yeah.
And you can find those, I believe, on Netflix, and I'm sure Disney Plus will have them on there.
Oh, yeah.
You can see them also in the parks. A lot of times they have like all the Pixar shorts in a theater somewhere.
It's just crazy to think that it takes 10 years to build out a viable concept.
A system.
Yeah.
Yeah, for crazy. Sure. Well, they were doing new things that no one had ever done before.
Completely true.
So that kind of progress takes time.
Right.
Right?
That's true. Yeah.
Crazy. So Where the Wild Things Are never happened, but you can see the tests that they did online. They're easy to find.
Oh, fun.
So it's pretty fun to watch.
Let's go look that up tonight.
Yeah. then we're going to move on. One of my favorite, all-time favorite movies is Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh, okay.
Which you haven't seen.
Yeah, I've seen some of it. Lots of it. Maybe part, all of it. I don't remember.
And we've ridden the ride in Toontown at Disneyland, so you've seen the ideas, basically.
It seemed like it was pretty adult comedy, though. Maybe. I was pretty young when I watched it, but I was like, this is not very good.
I watched it as a kid because it was fun to watch the cartoons and the people.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, as an adult, you're like, oh, this is a very adult idea smooshed in with all these cartoon characters, right? It's very gritty and that kind of thing. And Roger Rabbit was extremely popular for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
But there was some copyright issues with the character of Roger Rabbit, so they eventually kind of had to step away from him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We can go into that more later.
You know we're going to.
Right.
I got to know more about this.
So they had two ideas for a follow-up to the Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, okay.
One of them was called Toon Platoon, which, from what I understand, would have been like a war-based movie.
Sounds like a war-based movie.
Yeah, which, again, would probably go in hand-in-hand with the more adult concepts that were in Roger Rabbit, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but might be a little too dark. I don't know. A war thing. I don't know. The second idea was a film called Who Discovered Roger Rabbit,
which would have been a prequel type thing. Yeah.
Which I'm not a big fan of prequels, but it's still a fun idea. You know?
Jessica does need her own movie.
I wonder if they could build a movie around Jessica Rabbit. I mean, she's a tough lady.
Right.
And she's not bad. She's just drawn that way. But is she enough to support a whole movie on her own? I don't know.
They could write it in such a way.
Not to mention the fact that they had to pull all kinds of strings to get all of those cartoons into the film itself.
Oh, did they really?
There's a very famous scene in Who Framed Roger Rabbit where Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny are on screen together.
Oh, interesting.
And the stipulation was the only way that they would let them, both studios would allow their character to be used is if they were on the screen the exact same amount of time.
Oh, okay.
So literally to make sure they were on the screen at the same amount of time, they put them in the scene together.
Okay.
And said, look, there they are. They're both in there the same amount of time.
To show that they're not doing favorites over the other?
Right.
Oh, funny.
So it's a lot of work to get people to relinquish enough of their copyright to allow you to use characters.
I would have a hard time doing it for sure.
But now that Disney owns everything, they could pretty much do whatever they wanted, you know. And if they wanted to just use their characters, they could probably do that too.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
But the problem
is. They do have enough.
It lies with Roger Rabbit himself. So.
Oh, I see.
That's probably the reason that they're not even talking about it anymore.
Interesting.
Right.
Mm, I thought for sure it would be the baby because that man.
Oh, the baby's baby Herman. The smoking baby. So we're going to move on then.
What could possibly be wrong with the smoking baby?
Who could find that offensive? We're going to move ahead to your days in high school. I don't know if you ever had to read this, but there's an epic poem called The Odyssey.
No. Oh. Keep going.
Okay. The Odyssey is a epic poem about adventure and exploration. Most people in high school at least touch on it, if not have to read the whole thing.
Hmm.
Some people use it as a summer reading type thing. It's one of those quote-unquote classics that is just kind of in the public consciousness, you know.
Okay.
And
it was not written by Reba McEntire.
Not that I know of, unless she's...
Because these are the only books I read cover to cover are Reba McEntire books.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. There's no writing credit to Reba McEntire in The Odyssey. But it's a very, very old work.
Okay.
So I think Grecian...
Oh, wow. You know,
very far back.
You are taking us back.
I'm taking you back to your high school days in ancient Greece.
We use Roman numerals.
Yeah. And this was thrown around as an idea for a Disney movie. And anyone that's read it, I did read it in high school. I legitimately couldn't tell you what it was about. I'm sure
those are always the best books.
It's the ones you really pay attention to. I'm sure if I read a synopsis, I'd be like, oh, right, that's what it's about. But basically, Disney said, it's too long and it's not funny. We don't want to do it. Which is definitely true.
Those are two.
I can remember those two things very clearly, that it was too long and not funny at all.
Sounds like a great book.
Right? It's the exact kind of thing you want to assign to high schoolers who are disenfranchised with reading already.
Right.
You know, you're like, here, read this boring, long, unfunny poem instead.
Just for fun, we should totally find it on audible.com and find out what it's like.
We are not sponsored by audible.com. But if Audible wants to sponsor us, I will listen to the Odyssey. Just throwing that out there. But we're going to move ahead from that, though, and go to something that you would definitely find way more interesting.
Oh, really?
So okay. This is something they thought about in the early 2000s of doing. It's a movie called Wildlife.
Oh, hey.
It was written by Reba McEntire. Just a brief synopsis. It's about an elephant who becomes a singer at Studio 54.
What
kind of wackadoo story is this?
Wow.
And I figure you'd be all about that.
Yeah.
Imagine a Disney-fied version of Studio 54.
Dang.
That'd be interesting, to say the least.
That would be amazing.
Right?
Huh. I wonder if this is before or after the arrest of the owners for embezzlement and tax fraud, before they decided to cut the movie.
When was that? It was before the early 2000s that they got arrested, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, yes. Oh, but when would the story take place is your question.
No, I was wondering when it got cut.
Oh.
Did it get cut before or after they all went to jail?
Probably well after, but still. It's an interesting concept, and it would be very interesting to see how Disney would try to sanitize the Studio 54 experience.
Yeah.
And make it a little bit more family friendly.
Yeah, one of the owners actually went on to open a chain of really high-end hotels and lounges and things. And is
the elephant could totally work at those.
Exactly. This is my dream, to be the elephant that works at all these high-end hotels. That would be amazing.
Disney felt it was a little bit too off-brand for them.
Oh, completely off-brand. So I think that's even off-brand. That's even off-brand for like Pixar. No, Pixar is a pretty good one too, but I can't even.
It kind of makes me think of that sing-off show where they had the animals doing like the American Idol type thing.
Yeah, that was fun.
I feel like it might kind of go in that direction. I think that was DreamWorks.
So, DreamWorks would be willing to do it.
Hey, if they're willing to put out Shrek.
But we just got done talking about a smoking baby. So, I mean, you know, it's hard to tell what was on brand.
But that was by Touchstone, not Disney proper.
Oh, sure.
So, I feel like that's the conundrum they were in at this point. They're like, well, Studio 54 may not quite work for our demographic.
Yeah.
Which is fair to say.
Fun. I love the idea. Let's do it.
Okay.
Now, kids, run out and Google Studio 54.
Don't Google that.
Nobody out there knows what we're talking about.
Right. I mean, I guess it's probably
safe to
study, but everyone of a certain age knows exactly what Studio 54 was like. And it wasn't Disney friendly.
No.
So this one is a real interesting point in Disney history also. It was called My People's or A Few Good Ghosts.
Oh, wow.
So do you know about the Hatfields and the McCoys?
I do.
Big lifelong feud between these.
Yeah.
Generation-long feud between these families.
Yeah, like literally made up where state lines were drawn and stuff because the fight was so bad.
Mm-hmm. This was Disney's thought about working kind of on that 1983 idea of mixing CGI and hand-drawn animation.
Okay.
It was described as, quote, a hybrid film about feuding families in Appalachia, helped by ghost-possessed dolls.
Oh, yeah, that's some good stuff right there.
I don't know what this means, but it sounds intriguing to say the least.
Right.
It says the dolls would be done in CGI and the humans would all be hand-drawn. So we would have creepy Toy Story 3 style CGI dolls.
This would be an amazing Halloween cartoon to come out with.
Oh, that's a good point. People love the kind of darker comedy of Nightmare Before Christmas. This could have really played into that quite a bit.
Yeah. I'm all for it.
You're down? You're down for the feuding Appalachian
family? Well, obviously, I want the Studio 54 one first, but...
Yeah, we'll get right on that.
Yeah, as a sequel.
The reason, though, that this one didn't get made is because they promptly shut down the Florida animation studio that they had been using to make their animated films.
Oh, interesting.
And
was that done at like Hollywood Studios?
It was around that area, I believe.
Wow. And they just decided to shut it down.
Yeah, this is the problem that I think is a bigger conversation, but because of CGI, a lot of companies think that's what people demand to see and that's all they want to see. And so hand-drawn animation has become too lowbrow, I feel, for a lot of people.
And I bet it's really expensive.
And it's expensive and it's time-consuming, but so is animating any other way. It takes them a long time to animate films in general. But there is something more alive and something more vibrant that comes from hand-drawn animation that is very difficult and not often achieved in computer animation.
I 100% agree. That's completely what I say about especially even with that 101 Dalmatians is how it was not perfect and how it does look like it was.
It's a little scratchy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I miss that look a lot.
And you get a lot of personality from hand-drawn stuff.
Yeah.
I've said before and I'll say again, when I draw by hand, my drawings have a lot more life. And when I try to draw on a computer, just straight drawing on the computer, they're a little stilted and not quite as lively.
That's a good point. So, gosh, they're going to come up with a computer program to make it look like it's hand-drawn and all scratchy and messy.
Oh, I'm sure they've already done it, honestly.
yeah, it's easy to do.
But the reason that we didn't get a few good ghosts is because they moved away from the hand-drawn animation.
I've been trying to ditch that concept forever now.
Right? Constantly.
Rude.
And I would just like to say, it's like I always say, bring back 2D animation. It's gorgeous, and it's a dying art form that we need to appreciate. Follow my perfectly sculpted two-fingered point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app, and if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique, and we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.